This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. The Republican National Convention gets going next week in Cleveland, Ohio. We'll have a team there getting the economic slice of the biggest political story of the year. History in the making, as they say. But sometimes, oftentimes, really, history tells us more about what's actually going on in this country than the day's news does.
So, as I say, I think it's a terrible reflection on our society. I think the people in the elsewhere in the country have very little personal knowledge or information about it.
That's Bobby Kennedy in April of 1967 on what became known as his poverty tour of the Mississippi Delta.
But it exists, and it seems to me that we should do something about it. It's long overdue, and I don't think an inadequate poverty program or a poverty program that's on the books and sounds good but is inadequately funded might solve our conscience, and we might say that we are doing what we should, but when the fact is that we're not doing what we should be doing in this country to deal with this problem.
Kennedy was appalled by what he saw. Shacks with dirt floors, children with distended bellies, surviving on meals of biscuits and molasses, not enough clothing to go to school, and all of them black. And that helps explain how I wound up at the end of a long, torn-up dirt road on a steamy July morning not far from the town of Cleveland, Mississippi, sitting and talking with Catherine Wilson.
I'm going to show you a picture.
Okay.
Okay? And I want you to tell me what you remember out of this. So this is 1967. That's Bobby Kennedy right there.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And who's that lady in the striped dress?
Oh, my goodness.
That's a nice smile, right? That's you in history right there. That's pretty cool.
Well, I see.
Our election project with NewsHour and Frontline is called How the Deck is Stacked, the economic issues behind all the bluster of the campaign. Today, race, poverty, and economic mobility in America. When Kennedy came here to Cleveland and the Mississippi Delta in 1967, the war on poverty had been going on for 3 years. Catherine Wilson was a teenager at the time living with her mother.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal. I remember him. That was a joyous time for me.
Joyous time?
Yeah, we enjoyed him. Talking, he played with the children and things. And
what did he want to know? What did he ask you about?
Yeah, so he asked my mom what they want him to do. So they told him they want jobs and housing.
What happened after he left? Did you get the jobs and the houses? You got some, right?
Yeah, we got the houses over here, the houses here. We didn't have no houses when he came.
So these houses are the ones that came after Bobby Kennedy?
After he came.
It's a community called Freedom Village, but mostly it's a failed experiment. Plans were for 50 homes, housing for black farmers who'd been forced off the farms, also a laundromat and a convenience store. But they never got that far. Just a handful of the homes that were built are still standing, and most of them, honestly, including Ms. Wilson's, are in pretty desperate condition.
How's your life right now?
Well, I think I'm better than I used to be. We don't have nobody to come, you know, just tell us what to do and get up. And, you know, back then in the 60s, just like we had to move from home to home because we didn't have enough to eat, enough money to survive on. But now we understand that we don't have to go.
That's one good need.
I don't have to go. We own our own land property.
You get to do what you want.
Yeah. I believe it's still a little better than it used to be in the 60s. It got to be.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
You're 68-ish, right?
Right. I'm 68 now.
Your mom lived to 97?
She lived to 97.
So you're going to be around another 30 years, maybe.
Well, I pray to God I do. And I hope to see not just be here, neither. I want to see action.
You want to see action?
Progress. Better than it was 50 years ago. I'm looking on further up the road. But I still believe.
You still believe?
I still believe. I ain't giving up freedom.
Right. And you know
what
you know what that takes me back to, you saying that?
What?
Takes me back to that smile right there.
Oh,
you still believe?
Lord. I still believe.
When he arrived, it was a particularly wrenching time for the Delta.
Ellen Meacham teaches journalism at the University of Mississippi. She's also the author of a book coming out next year called Delta Epiphany, RFK in Mississippi. She's the one who helped us track down Catherine Wilson.
The Delta has always been poor, but herbicides, pesticides, all of that made it easier and cheaper for the farmers to just go ahead and fully mechanize. So you had tens of thousands of people who, just in the space of very few years, didn't have the work in the fields anymore. And some of the war on poverty programs that were well-meaning had actually made it a little worse and actually made people hungrier.
Today, almost 50 years after Bobby Kennedy was here, Mississippi is ranked 50th among the states in poverty. One in five households live below the poverty line, one in 10 in deep poverty. Just off the main drag in Cleveland, Highway 278, there's an old powder blue building. Looks a bit like a stretched out double wide. It's a restaurant called the Country Platter.
Hey.
How are you, Mr. Williams?
Fine. How are you?
I'm well.
Jimmy Williams owns the place.
Can we sit? Have a little chat?
Yeah.
Mr. Williams is getting a new front door installed, so he's had to close up for the day. It's a break for the proprietor, actually.
I'm in the restaurant every morning around 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I'm here. Because of simple reason, we cook everything. We don't have canned food. We do.
You do it all
cook
yourself?
Everything. Yeah. I cook about 95% of it.
Williams has lived in Cleveland his whole life, all 70 years of it come October.
Well, this place is a historical site. Back during the Civil Rights Movement, you know, all the people that would come into Cleveland would meet here.
Martin Luther King, Ralph Abernathy, local hero Amzie Moore. Williams says all of them ate here.
They would come in the back, go out the front. Come in the front and go out the back for safety.
Just over 12,000 people live in Cleveland today. The town is split pretty much right down the middle, half black and half white.
It could be a whole lot better now. It should be. I would say in the 21st century, you shouldn't have people hungry. You shouldn't have people homeless.
You do a thing here about food and the kids and who can't afford to buy food. Tell me about it.
Well, you have so many kids that they are hungry. You know, and we try to feed them, and I mean, it's a full home-cooked meal.
You just give it away?
Give it away. We got a whole book up there that people...
Book of people who you
feed?
Yeah,
we feed every day.
That list of people Williams feeds for free, by the way, it's 9 pages long. I asked him, since we had some time, to show us around his hometown.
Y'all ready to roll?
Once we get going, Williams says there are two Clevelands we got to see. Old railroad tracks used to run right down the middle of the town. The tracks have been torn up, but they're not gone.
So we are still divided to a certain extent.
Do you feel it? You feel it every day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you can't say nothing about it. You know, they...
You can't even say anything about it?
No.
You still talk about it?
Well, you know, when you're in business, they can cut you off, you know.
What side of the track are we on now? We're on the...
We're on the east side.
Yeah.
East side of the track. Now, this is Lee Street here.
Yeah. By the Family Dollar and liquor and wine store.
Right. And next thing, they got so many town loans and check cashing places here. These are shotgun houses that we had back in the day in the country.
That. Yeah, sure they are.
People live in those things. And this is Christmas Street here. This is the oldest street in the black community. Guy living this old house here on Christmas Street.
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm talking about right here. Growed up.
Wow.
He lives in there.
Plastic bags over the windows.
Yeah.
And
every car he ever owned sitting
five,
in the yard.
Six, seven cars in there.
Yeah. All this
wow, look at that. That's junkyard. That's not a garage.
Junkyard.
That's a junkyard.
Junkyard. Right in the yard.
Yeah.
I just don't think people should be living like that. I mean, they allow this over here.
Yeah.
You couldn't put that on the other side of the track.
Nope.
Yeah, this one used to be one of the best-looking streets in Cleveland when I was a kid. You know, we had our 50th class reunion.
Yeah.
And some of the guys hadn't been here in 50 years, and they said worse off now than were when they were here. And
say
which
that,
it is.
Say that again. Worse off now than 50 years ago?
Yeah. And it's really, it's sad. And this is the track right here where it's divided.
Oh, yeah.
The east from the west. Okay, now we enter the note to the west side
of
Cleveland.
So look at this, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't take but a half a block.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. When you cross the track, it's much different than daylight and dark.
This is literally the other side of the tracks.
Yeah. See all of this here?
Oh, yeah. These are some great houses.
They keep it up. You know, they keep the grass cut. The city keeps all the trash picked up.
Kind of goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's the black folk who live on the other side, and it's the white folk who live on this side.
Right, absolutely. That's what you got.
Why do you think it's still this way?
Because they still, this, I think it's more of a racist problem. They don't want to see people do good, you know. The ones that down, they want to keep them down. You got a few people to up, and those are the ones they want to deal with, you know.
So the system, to use a word that's in the political dialogue today, mm-hmm. You think the system is rigged against you?
Yeah, I think it is. I really do. But you do get the picture.
Yeah, I get the picture.
It's pretty clear there are two economies in Cleveland. The west side is home to Delta State University and the new Grammy Museum, a country club. And while there are a handful of new houses and apartments on the east side, there are also plenty of liquor stores, and payday lenders, fast food places, and a layaway furniture shop. But the statistics paint an even starker picture of the racial and economic divide here than the aesthetics and the geography do. The unemployment rate for whites in Cleveland is 6%. For blacks, it's 22%. The median income for a white family is just over $32,000 a year. For a black family, just over $13,000. And the poverty rate for whites who live in Cleveland is 12%. For blacks, 37%. We're going to meet back on those railroad tracks on Monday, where those tracks used to be, anyway, to talk to some people about where Cleveland and in some ways this country go from here in the national conversation about race, mobility, and income inequality.